Well, tell you what, nothing is certain in sports these days. Maybe one thing I forgot to ask him about was how they're doing if they mask up when they're playing pickleball these days. WPR sports reporter Megan Hart back with us to talk about the latest development. COVID certainly plays a role in some of our sports, our national sports. We'd like you to join in the conversation as I visit with her. So questions about the Brewers. Are you concerned about high school athletics getting started back up? What about the Bucks? There's lots we can talk about with Megan Hart, and I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Megan Hart, welcome. Are you a pickleball player?
Hi, thank you. I am not a pickleball player, but it sounds like maybe I should be.
Dave Weinbach is a pretty good pretty good ambassador for the sports, for that sport, for sure. And it's certainly been an interesting year for covering sports. What's been the hardest for you as a reporter?
I guess for me, it's really kind of been about putting things in perspective. I started with WPR in December to cover sports. I was very lucky that the Badgers had a good football season. I got to go right to the Rose Bowl and cover that. And then, we started to hear about coronavirus, and then it became really an everyday reality for us. And so I have shifted my focus a lot to other things in addition to sports, which, you know, I've been able to cover a lot of important topics and learn a lot. But it is nice in the last couple weeks to get back to sports, although, like you said, there's a lot of questions surrounding what's going on right now. So as much as it's covering sports, it's still covering coronavirus and sort of all the complications that sports are facing.
Yeah, for sure. I talked with Tom Hardricourt of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and for him, he's a sort of a day-to-day guy covering the Brewers, and the fact that reporters can't talk in person to players puts a kind of a crimp in the style for a lot of reporters.
That's true. That I imagine is a big challenge for beat reporters. I will say for me, I'm based in Green Bay, and so getting Zoom links to talk to the Bucks players, for example, in Orlando, actually is pretty helpful, I would say. But I imagine if you get in the habit of being at the ballpark every day, it's very strange not to be able to have those kind of interactions, especially for somebody like Tom, who's got so many connections, you know, people that he knows and has spent a lot of time with. It's got to be very different.
Yeah, for him. Well, the Brewers played last night. I watched the game. Did you have a chance to watch it or hear what went on?
Yeah, I did watch it. I thought, you know, of course, the Brewers, they let that one get away from them. They ended up losing 6-4. But I thought it had, in baseball, it is a sport that I think particularly this year we're seeing. It's a sport where athletes are used to having a long preseason and then a pretty grueling regular season. And so the Brewers had 4 days off due to coronavirus issues. And so I think that was kind of a long break for them. So I would say last night, actually, despite the loss, had some bright points. Christian Yelich got a couple of hits. He's been struggling early in the season. So, yeah, so I think that was a good sign. I grew up in Tampa Bay, so the Brewers now have Avi Garcia, who came from Tampa Bay, and he had a good night last night. Of course, there's a lot to talk about. A lot has happened to the Brewers in the last few days, but one of the things that did happen is that Lorenzo Cain opted out for the season, so Avi Garcia is going to see some of his time at center field. So I think the fact that he had a good game is a good sign. And they're back at the top of the rotation today with Brandon Woodruff. So, hopefully, despite the loss, things are starting to kind of right course.
Yeah, I think so. And Avi Garcia did have a great game. I think he was 2-for-4, drove in some runs, and scored all their runs last night with two outs, which was the Brewers have gone through something. I mean, Pat Murphy, he is one of the base coaches, had a heart attack. Yelich had gone, I think, 0-for-19, his last 19 at-bats until last night.
Yeah.
Ryan Braun is sitting there with an infection in his finger.
Yeah.
Lorenzo Cain is left crazy for the season. It's a crazy season. I saw and the St. Louis Cardinals are still in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
They weren't able to leave, were they?
No, as far as I know, they have not left yet. They were supposed to be playing the Tigers. That series has been, I would think that was a 4-game series that's now been put on hold. So they're not scheduled to play again until Friday. So who knows if that'll happen. But yeah, it's funny because you mentioned Tom Hodricourt, and I read his one of his pieces, and he just talked about what a hard weekend it's been for the Brewers between all of those things happening. Unfortunately, Pat Murphy is out of the hospital and expected to make a full recovery. But when you just add that to everything, it does kind of put last night's loss in perspective. Just the fact they were able to get out there and play and put together a pretty solid performance, I think, was encouraging.
Well, it was pretty entertaining as far as I was concerned. I really enjoyed it. I was interested in Craig Counsell, the manager, his comment about the whole season, what with St. Louis and everything else. He said, to this point, unfortunately, we've just talking baseball, has handled this the same way our country's handled. we put together guidelines that were well-intentioned and protocols, and then we handed them off to 30 individual operators.
Yeah.
And asked them to do their best. you try to get 30 different groups you give them suggestions and tell them to do their best. You know darn well things are not going to turn out probably the way you want them to turn out.
Yeah, even, right away when the season started, you could kind of see some of the guidelines that Major League Baseball doled out, even just kind of simple ones like no high fives or hugs, went out the window pretty quickly. And then, of course, now between the Cardinals and the Marlins and the Phillies, there's some pretty serious coronavirus outbreaks. So, in some cases, high five seems pretty innocent, but it's clear that when someone on a team contracts coronavirus, it can become serious very quickly. And so fortunately, though the Cardinals did travel to Milwaukee, the team did not go to Miller Park Friday before the game. They actually found out Thursday about those couple of positive, the initial two coronavirus tests that came back positive. So it seems that the Brewers, have been pretty lucky so far. And their owner did say, I guess it was Friday, he did say that, it really does come down partially to luck as far as containing these outbreaks when you're doing this kind of traveling.
One more thing before we move on to from baseball. I think watching it, I would encourage everybody listening, if you haven't watched a game yet, you should give it a look. It's kind of interesting to see the stands and so forth and how they use sound, right?
Yeah, it is. I find that there are times, especially if I'm getting up and making dinner or something, and I have the game on in the background, I don't notice that it's not real people. They're cheering. The music is pretty much the same. But then every once in a while, if a ball goes into the stands, it'll kind of catch you off guard. It's been really interesting. And I know we're going to talk about the NBA, and I think the NBA's the way that they've handled their broadcast has been interesting as well. Hopefully it's not something that we'll ever have to go through again, but it's really showed a lot of ingenuity, I think.
it has indeed, and we'll get to the NBA. Megan Hart, our guest today, sports reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio. We've started talking about the Brewers, but I know we want to talk about the Bucks, the Packers, certainly high school sports and college sports. I'm a big college sport fan, too. You can join in again at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org. Thoughts on any of the sports that are going on or or are yet to go on, we'd love to hear from you. 800-642-1234. Email at ideas@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Talking sports on the Ideas Network today, we do a monthly sports show, and it's a Wisconsin sports update with Megan Hart, sports reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio. I always enjoy talking to Megan. She knows a lot, and certainly she is ready to answer your questions or hear what you have to say. What's on your mind about the Brewers or the Bucks or maybe the Packers? What about high school sports? And some shortened and changed seasons for sure. And college football, for example, way up in the air. We can talk about that as well. Give a call. The number is 800-642-1234. Or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. One final thing about baseball, Megan. I picked up the Wisconsin State Journal. I get that every day. And I noted the picture that there are cutouts were seen in the upper deck before Monday's game. Fans were allowed to upload images online for the cutouts. That cost $50 and helped benefit the Brewers Community Foundation. So that was kind of a nice little touch.
Yeah, they actually, I'm not sure if they still have it available, but I know that they were supporting the Humane Society by allowing fans to upload pictures of their pets for $50, and they've got a section of pets as well. So I think that that's a really cool, especially when you have such a dedicated fan base. You know, many people have been going to games for years or have been season ticket holders for years. At least they get a chance to kind of get into Miller Park.
I thought it was a cool idea. I hadn't heard about it. I probably would have, $50, it would have been nice. I don't know if you probably don't get to keep those, but it would
be an interesting souvenir.
It would be a heck of an interesting souvenir. Well, you know, you look at what's going on in baseball with with some teams facing major problems and how are they even going to be able to play. And then you take a look at the NBA, National Basketball Association, and here we've got our Milwaukee Bucks resuming their little title quest in Florida. And you recently did a story on what's going on there. Talk about that.
Yeah, so unlike Major League Baseball, the NBA decided that it would create a bubble with very strict coronavirus precautions and bring the 22 top NBA teams into Orlando to finish the season actually at Walt Disney's Wide World of Sports. And so it really seems like they thought about everything. Players were required to quarantine in their home markets and were tested there before they entered the bubble in Orlando. When they first arrived, they were required to quarantine in their hotel rooms at Disney until they tested negative for coronavirus twice, and then they got a bit more freedom. So they have kind of free reign of a campus in Disney World, but they're all there together for they've been there a little over 3 weeks getting ready for the season, and then they just restarted the season last week. But teams are hoping to end up being there for 3 months when the NBA finals will wrap up. And it seems like so far it really seems like the more successful approach. Of course, it's not easy to quarantine that many people and to keep them in a bubble for that length of time, but the NBA is doing it. Major League Soccer is doing that, and the NHL has also taken that approach. And it seems like they've had success so far. The NBA has tested, they've done hundreds of tests of people inside the bubble, and they've all come back negative so far. So it's promising.
Yeah. Well, Eric Bledsoe tested positive, and somebody else.
Yeah. Pat Connaughton tested positive. So that was before they went to Orlando. So they did not travel with the team initially to Orlando, and they have not played in the first two games for the Bucks yet. But they both have been practicing 5-on-5. Bledsoe said he told reporters he didn't really have any symptoms, but that it is really scary because you don't know who you're exposing, especially if you're living with family members. So he kind of quarantined in a room and played Call of Duty a lot as he was recovering. He said he heard from his teammates quite often to check in. Connaughton had mild symptoms, he said. And both say they're trusting in the team's doctors and kind of, you know, they're ready to play, but you know, they're ready to jump in when they're needed. I don't think anybody wants to rush it.
Yeah, for sure. And there, as you say, there's once they're there and all the players, of course, have access after some, you know, testing to play. They can play golf. They can swim. There's a great swimming for them and other things that they can do together. But it's got to be weird to be all in the same bunch, all in the same place all the time.
Yeah. Buck Center Brooke Lopez said it was kind of like a high school summer camp. I know that initially a lot of the questions as they were getting ready to head down there and then as they first arrived, there were a lot of questions in the media briefings about like concerns over other teams tampering with Giannis Antetokounmpo, for example. And I think that, you know, those concerns have kind of died down, but it, you know, the players know each other really well from not only playing with and against each other in the NBA, but a lot of them grew up playing together in college, even, you know, elite players will play together back in high school. So a lot of connections. The Bucks seem to have pretty much stuck together so far. Of course, they're a team kind of known for their chemistry, but they seem to be hanging out a lot with one another. They are able to golf, go fishing, go swimming, play ping pong. So there's a lot to do. But I think, you know, what I've heard is that for a lot of players, they're really there to, and especially the Bucks, considering the season they've had so far and the success they've had, they're really there for work, even though it kind of looks like a summer camp from the outside. So I don't know that they're always doing those fun activities. They're still training a lot and recovering a lot, but it is a really unique situation and really interesting to see.
Yeah, for sure. John in Sun Prairie has something for us. Let's go to John. Hi, John. Thanks for calling. Oh,
hello?
Hi, John. What's on your mind?
Yes, what about on the WIAA girls sports basketball for the coming up season? Think it's going to happen?
I don't know. I guess I'll hedge my bet there. I think we'll learn a lot as schools start to resume either online or in person over the coming weeks. The WIA hasn't really made a decision on anything aside from the fall sports that they have starting in the next month or two. So I really hope so because I know that the athletes last year, they were getting ready to have the girls WIA basketball tournament here in Green Bay. And that was one of the very first big events to be canceled due to coronavirus. I think after they played the first day, maybe. And so I really, you know, for the sake of the athletes, I hope that they're able to do something. But I think, you know, with high school sports, it seems like WIA's approach is to really try to be as flexible as possible. So hopefully they'll be able to get something together for those kids.
Yeah, and the cross country and soccer, I think, are still a goal for girls' sports, are they not?
Yeah, so WIAA had a meeting a few weeks ago now, and it was about 3 hours. So there was a lot of discussion and a lot of differing opinions. And really, honestly, it was really interesting to hear all the kinds of considerations that they have, considering the diverse sort of distribution of where the participating schools are, geographically, the diverse sports, the different things that the kids have going on at different times of the year. So like I said, flexibility I think will be key. But they did go ahead and decide that for fall sports, they were going to push back the start dates, so lower risk sports, which includes some sports that have been going on sort of over the summer as well. Those they're going to allow to start August 17th, so that'll be in a couple weeks. And though they're like girls golf, girls tennis, cross country, and then the higher risk sports like football or soccer or volleyball will be able to start September 7th.
So they're out there. We just don't know much about girls or boys basketball yet.
Yeah. So that the during the meeting, the board members did say that they there was a proposal from Southwest Wisconsin to move fall sports to the spring, and that would have left the winter sports sort of the least affected. But it all kind of is contingent upon what happens over the next few weeks, I think.
You did a story about a month ago on the mental health of high school athletes. How are they being affected?
Yeah, I thought that was a really interesting study that WIAA shared with the media and with high school coaches and administrators to kind of talk about the impact of these cancellations, and not only the cancellation of sports, but also moving school online. And I thought it was really interesting. A University of Wisconsin College of Medicine professor had been surveying student athletes for years on different things like feelings of depression, quality of life, level of activity. And so he had a lot of control data from before the pandemic. He could compare it, the results to. So back in May, during the pandemic, they surveyed more than 3,000 student athletes and kind of compared the results from before the pandemic to what they heard back. And it sounds like these cancellations are having a really dramatic effect on young people. For example, reports of moderate to severe depression were up 20%. 65% of the kids surveyed reported experiencing a level of anxiety that would typically require treatment. They're getting, I think, unsurprisingly, a lot of them are getting less exercise. And of course, this isn't only affecting student athletes. He just happened to have the control data to be able to compare it to student athletes. But I think it also goes for kids who are, you know, involved in other things like theater or even speech or band. Just missing out on those activities. Of course, everyone is being affected, and they're hearing scary things in the news as well related to coronavirus. But it certainly is having an impact that I don't think can be ignored.
Yeah. My daughter, Emily, is a senior this year in high school, and her sports are cross country and soccer. And so she's kind of looking forward to getting going and getting back with her pals that she hasn't seen for a long, long time.
Yeah, I bet.
Her cross country is one of those sports where I think both the girls and the boys, they get to be pretty tight knit and pretty good friends.
Yeah.
And so she's really looking forward to, and she's been out running and getting in shape for it. So I want to give Barb in Jackson County a chance to join in. Barb, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, good morning. I wanted to mention that the WNBA is already playing their season, and we have a local girl from Green Bay, Natisha Heideman, that plays for Connecticut Sun. And they are playing three games a night, along with the Minnesota Lynx and the whole WNBA. But they don't seem to get a lot of press, and I'm not sure why.
Yeah, that's true. That's a very good point. I wrote down Natisha Highland, so I can look into hopefully connecting with her. The WNBA actually is, they are playing in a bubble, and they've had success with that so far. They actually are playing in the town just north of where I'm from in Florida, at IMG Academy, which is a really nice facility there. I know I would love to cover the WNBA more, but without a team here in Wisconsin, it's not as much of a focus for me. But I know that they, both on and off the court in recent months, have, they've managed to get basketball back. They've also been a league that's been really very active in its support of social justice movement. So I think that the WNBA really deserves all the support it can get.
Yeah, Barb, thank you so much for calling. And your niece is Natisha Heideman, your niece? Oh, I think we lost her. I think Natisha is Barb's niece, and so that's kind of cool. That's kind of cool, and to have a WNBA player from Wisconsin playing is also a very, very cool thing. Well,
yeah, it is.
Yeah, let's go back to that board, that WIAA board. Before we go any further, who makes up that board, and what's? I know you said they were meeting for a long, long time.
Yeah. Well, the board is led by Dave Anderson, who is the executive director. I'm not entirely sure about the composition of the board. I believe that they represent different regions of Wisconsin. I'm not sure about all of their backgrounds, but. But they certainly heard from a lot of diverse perspectives. Board members spoke to different coaches associations. So not only were they getting sort of regional representations of how coaches and parents and teams and school administrators are feeling, but also hearing from the coaches associations that have a better understanding of how their individual sports would be impacted by trying to move the schedule, for example. And then during the meeting, they also heard from some health experts to sort of talk about that aspect of it as well, which is, of course, important.
Yeah, Megan Hart, our guest today, sports reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking about all kinds of sports. Peggy had emailed to ask if you know anything about sailing opportunities in Green Bay. Megan, something for you to think about as we take a look at the news and weather. Find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller. We'll be back right after the news. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Wisconsin Public Radio sports reporter Megan Hart is joining us, and love to hear from you, too. What questions do you have about high school sports or the Packers or the Bucks or the Brewers? What about college sports? Questions or comments, experiences to share, love to hear from you at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org. That's ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Well, Megan, we've got a lot yet to talk about. I know just back to the Bucks for a minute or two, the team lost the other night. Someone else was wondering how many games they actually have to play, and what does the playoff look like, that whole thing?
Yeah, they so the format in Orlando, each team is playing 8 seeding games, so that will sort of serve as the conclusion of a slightly shortened regular season. So they've got 6 regular season games left. They actually are getting ready right now to play the Brooklyn Nets. They're 5.5 games, I think, ahead of the Toronto Raptors, so they're pretty comfortable heading into the playoffs. And the playoff format will it'll run essentially like normal with 16 teams. Of course, one of the biggest differences will be that there won't really be a true home court advantage, which, of course, is important in basketball. When you're playing these long series, it's really helpful after a good regular season to get that home court advantage and have the big games in your own arena. So that'll be different. But fortunately, there's still a lot of basketball left.
And, you know, I'm watching the games. I don't know if you've had a chance to watch any of the games, but I've watched a few of the games. I saw the Bucks win a couple of nights before, and I watched a little of some of the other games. And the level of play is really pretty high in my estimation.
I completely agree. That was kind of what struck me, too, is that I think, you know, you could tell – the last game when they lost to the Rockets, the Bucks maybe got were a little tired towards the end. It was almost the opposite of when they beat the Celtics in the game before, because both games were pretty tight down to the wire, and the Bucks figured a way to really close it out against the Celtics. But overall, I would say the level of play has been really impressive after such a long layoff. I mean, they were off for 4 months, which is essentially like an NBA off season. So to be able to come back and have not only watch some good basketball, but some really exciting games has been nice.
Yeah, it has been. And you know, it's basketball's different from baseball in a lot of ways, that in the way that with the fans, you know, when you watch a basketball game, you don't really see the fans all that much. And so it doesn't seem to, and yet they pipe in the sounds and all of that in these games. And it almost feels pretty much like a normal NBA game.
Yeah, I think that the step that they've taken being at a neutral site, the fact that they've kind of still given one team sort of the home team feel by having more of the graphics reflect, you know, have their team logos and mascots and things like that, and having actually digital fans be able to log in and sit in the stadium for whichever team has home court. You know, it's definitely not the same as playing a game at Fiserv Forum, for example, but it's been really interesting to see. And like you said, I don't think it takes anything away from the broadcast, or I honestly think that the digital fans are pretty entertaining to watch, especially because it seems like some people sit at different distances to their camera, maybe, or for some reason they're different sizes, and I just think that's pretty funny. But yeah, the game so far, between the level of play and the quality of the broadcast they've been able to work out, I think it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it has indeed. Well, Greg in Glidden has a question for us. Let's go there. Hi, Greg.
Hi, Larry and Megan. How are you guys?
Good. Appreciate the call.
Hey. Hey, what about the Packer games? I know there's not going to be any preseason games, but I doubt there probably won't be any fans for the regular season. Am I correct on that?
I would, if I were a betting person, I would probably guess that you're right. I recently logged in for the Packers annual shareholder meeting. And I think it was there where the Packers president and CEO Mark Murphy talked about the large portion of the team's revenue that comes from television broadcasts. And I don't think that the team would do anything to jeopardize being able to air games. And unfortunately, I think that might mean, it might include not having fans at the games. The Packers have said that if they do have fans, it'll be a maximum of 12,000, which is a pretty big departure from a normal game anyway. But I would err on the side, at least at the start of the season, of assuming that there probably aren't going to be fans.
Yeah. And you look at the revenue loss for that. TV is still the big money, the cash cow. But Packers are going to lose. If you can't have any stands, people in the stands, you're going to lose a lot of money in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, definitely. I know that the Packers, as an organization, have said that they have reserve funds that should get them through this time. But it will be, I think, a particularly big blow to this area up here in Green Bay. I was working on a story when the season schedule was announced, and I spoke to the head of the Convention and Visitors Bureau up here, who said that every Packers home game brings in about $15 million of economic impact. Of course, the Packers already, they're in the getting ready to start training camp, and that's usually a time when fans will come up here as well. And so we're missing out sort of on the economic benefits of that as well. So in addition to it being difficult for the team, I know it's also kind of tough for this Green Bay region to not have fans.
Yeah, that is for sure. Thanks so much, Greg, for calling. Appreciate your call. Well, it's college teams have also been struggling with how to play. And, you know, it's different college and pros. I mean, the pros can kind of go ahead and play. But the colleges have a lot more to deal with, I think.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And it's been really tough. And honestly, coming back and trying to get back to focusing a good portion of my time on sports, trying to manage all of the things that are happening in college sports is a challenge, because, of course, there's so many different schools and teams and leagues that all have their own unique challenges and are all making their own decisions, and things move so fast as far as outbreaks and stuff like that. So there's certainly a lot going on in terms of college sports, or I should say a lot of news in terms of college sports. We may not see a lot of college sports going on this fall.
Yeah, I served on the UW athletic board for 8 years, and I am a season ticket holder for football and basketball and some of the other sports. But you know, I got that email that Barry Alvarez sent out to all ticket holders, saying that if they can't put people in the stands, it's probably going to cost them $100 million.
Right. Yeah. It's a lot of money. College sports are, and especially college football, is a big business. So it would be a huge blow. And I know recently there's been a lot of discussion. I think that what's going on with the pandemic has brought maybe into sharper discussion, or into sharper focus discussions, on whether or not players should be paid. But regardless of where you come down on that, the fact is money from football and from basketball subsidizes a lot of other college sports, and a lot of jobs at the university. So it would have huge impact. And again, it brings a lot of people to the Madison area to see the Badgers play. And so it would have an economic impact on the community in that way, too.
Yeah, it would be a huge economic impact for the city of Madison, for sure, and some of the outlying cities as well. Have you heard anything about these shortened seasons, just in general for any of the sports, but how they're going to be treated in the record books? Are they going to go in as, with an asterisk or not?
Yeah. It's a good question. I have not really heard much about that, aside from basketball, professional basketball. They did get to play the majority, and if all things go well in Orlando, they will have played the majority of their season. But before before basketball came back, somebody asked Giannis about whether he thought that this season would have an asterisk by it. And he said, actually, he thinks with everything going on, this winning a championship this season would probably be the most difficult circumstances in which a team could do it. And so he doesn't think that it should necessarily have an asterisk. I know sort of across sports, players from the Brewers and the Bucks and the Packers have said that, every team is dealing, it's a global pandemic, and every team is dealing with similar issues, whether it's not having fans in the stand or whatever it may be. And so in that way, there's not particular teams that are facing additional challenges. So it is kind of an even playing field in a lot of ways. But I'm not sure if technically there will be like an asterisk, next to the World Series champion this year or anything like that.
I think if you win it, I wouldn't put an asterisk there. But, it'll be always, I think, 20 years from now, if they talk about the 2020 World Series, they'll probably say, oh, that was the shortened season. And so there'll be kind of an asterisk even if there isn't one. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. And of course, I think while every team is dealing with the same kind of situation, if you look at a sport like baseball, I think in particular, because it's been so dramatically shortened by the pandemic this year, I think there's been a lot of injuries to pitchers. It's maybe taking pitchers a little bit of time to get into the swing of things. Teams with big bats seem to have gotten off to a fast start. And so, you know, so there are factors, I think, that will contribute to which teams are successful. And I think maybe a different team will win the World Series in this shortened season than would have won the World Series in a typical season. I think that's possible. But either way, you know, they are all facing similar situations. But I think it will always, you know, be known as a different season. I would be just as, you know, I think as a player, as a fan, I would be just as happy to win under these circumstances. But I can see how looking back, it'll look different.
Yeah, and you look at the teams, the Yankees, the Twins, or the Twinkies, as we sometimes call them, the Twins and the Cubs are all, and the White Sox are all looking really, really good this year.
Yeah, they are.
With a bunch of really good young hitters. So that's going to be an issue. Bob and Claybanks wondered if you could comment on pros having access to the COVID-19 testing results so much faster than the general public. How's the NBA? I mean, do they have their own set of people that are doing the testing or what? Do you know?
I have read that the NBA contracts with a lab in Florida, and being from Florida, where my family still lives, and of course they have scary coronavirus numbers. It is something that I have certainly thought about, and I have read that the lab that the NBA works with down there said that what they have going on with the NBA hasn't negatively affected how they're processing tests from other sources. They're not necessarily prioritizing them. They simply are contracted to turn them around in a different amount of time. But I think it's certainly a very fair question to ask is whether, you know, these sports that are testing every day or every other day for coronavirus, you know, whether that is ethical when some people are waiting a long time to get their test results back. And I know that, going back quickly to college sports, the NCAA guidelines for returning to play, I believe, said that teams need to be able to turn around their coronavirus tests in 72 hours if they want to play this fall. And so that's why some of the smaller conferences, like the Wisconsin Intercollegiate Athletic Conference, actually decided to forego football season this year because they wouldn't be able to accommodate that. So it's not, I don't think, easier and expensive to get tests turned around that quickly. And of course, the professional leagues have a lot of resources, but it's a very fair question to ask.
Yeah, very, very fair question. And then again, on the football, for example, I mean, the fact that the Power Five conferences are eliminating their games, their play-in games, you might say, non-conference games, that'll hurt a lot of other schools because they rely on that money for maintaining their own sports programs, the smaller schools.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think, again, it's one of those things where there's just not a lot of, it doesn't feel like there's a lot of right answers in this situation, because a lot of smaller schools do rely on that income and it helps fund their athletic departments. And so it's an unfortunate blow to them. But I think at the same time, you know, I'm not sure how the Power Five conferences would be able to play a regular season. I know for the Big Ten, for example, one of the benefits to playing just conference games is that maybe the schedule can be spread out a bit more. And because, you know, if a team does need to go into quarantine or something like that, then there's some more flexibility to be able to finish the season. But there's just so much up in the air.
Yeah. On a kind of a side note, the Sheboygan Armory is being torn down. Tell us a little about the history of that place.
Yeah, I actually, before I came to Wisconsin Public Radio, I worked at the Sheboygan Press. And so it's a story that I've been following since I moved to Wisconsin and one that has been affecting Sheboygan for a long time. But it does have kind of a cool sports history. It was built in the 40s, one of the later buildings to come out of the Works Progress Administration. And it was, as they were building it, it was intended to be a home for the Army National Guard there in Sheboygan, right near the lake. I think they paid, I'm working on a story on it, so I talked to a few people, and from what I understand, they paid workers 40 cents an hour with the goal of employing as many people as possible to come build this building. And it did house Sheboygan's NBA team, very short-lived NBA team, which unfortunately had a nickname that has that's recently been retired by the NFL team in Washington. But they had an NBA team there. They had all kinds of interesting sports acts, from the Harlem Globetrotters to Andre the Giant, entertainment acts like Bob Hope, or the Cordettes, who are from Sheboygan. And then they, for a long time, housed like cross city basketball games between Sheboygan North and South. So it holds a lot of history and a lot of meaning to a lot of people in Sheboygan, and it does have some cool sports connections. But unfortunately, you know, after a lot of back and forth between the city and different community groups, it is currently being demolished, but they are saving all kinds of things from it, including the ticket booth, and some of the stands are actually going to sell some of the seats from the building to support an exhibit where you'll be able to go see items of Armory history. So so hopefully I will have a story on that soon. But
I wonder what's coming up in its place.
Yeah, it's a building with a really interesting history, and it's like a kind of poured concrete. So it's not one that would have been easy to renovate and reuse by any means. But yeah, it's got a great location down near Lake Michigan in Sheboygan. And it's just, you know, one of those buildings that that a lot of people, even when it's gone, will still kind of carry the memories from down in southeast Wisconsin.
One other thing, the PGA Championship this week at TCP Harding in San Francisco, and Brooks Koepka, I don't know if you've looked into this, but he's won the PGA Championship twice in a row, and so he's going for a third in a row, and I think only Walter Hagen did that back in 19...
Yeah, you know, Brooks Koepka is... We both went to Florida State, so I will be rooting for him. Actually, I'm a Florida State shirt on right now. So, yeah, unfortunately, Wisconsin's missing out on our big golf event of the year. Hopefully, that will be able to take place next year with the Ryder Cup at Whistling Straits. But I'll certainly be watching this weekend, because that would be some cool history.
Yeah, and the Ryder Cup, of course, a Wisconsin guy leading our Ryder Cup team.
Yeah. I really hope that the Ryder Cup is able to go as planned next year, because I know not only is it's just such a cool, I've never attended, unfortunately, but it appears to be such an amazing atmosphere. And Steve Stricker, who's leading the American team and is a Wisconsin native, he said, I participated in a press conference with some PGA executives, and one of them said he had reached out to Stricker and told him in advance, before it was announced, that the Ryder Cup would be postponed to 2021. And Stricker supported the decision, saying that he really wants Wisconsin to get the Ryder Cup experience that it deserves. So hopefully that will be able to happen.
Well, I hope so too. Boy, this has been a lot of fun, Megan.
Thank you so much.
We covered the whole gamut of sports here. It's been a lot of fun. I hope we have a chance to do this again. Thanks so much for hanging around
with
us today. Megan Hart. Sports reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio. She comes by every time we do our sports show, once a month here on the Ideas Network. Great to have her with us. Tomorrow, wildlife, Scott Craven back with us, so hope you can join us for that. But you know what? There is lots more in store on the Ideas Network, and I want you to stay with us, so do that. I'm Larry Mehler.